Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 191 of Getting It Out podcast. That was LLNN out of Denmark. The song was called Desecrator. It's off of their new album, Unmaker, coming out on Pelagic Records. That song also features guest vocals from Matt McGackie of Cryptopsy or the Vox and Hops Metal podcast, who you may have heard on a recent episode. of Getting It Out podcast, where you find yourself right now. Matt, of course, is a fantastic vocalist, and that is what we're doing today. We're talking to another fantastic vocalist. This time, it's Joseph Isaiah from the band Seeking Sirens. Well, he's actually from a lot of bands, and we'll talk all about that. But on this specific episode, we're talking about his involvement in a project known as Seeking Sirens, which is mostly based out of North Carolina, despite him being based out of Massachusetts. So you can put it together. It's pretty simple. It's 2021. Things are pretty easy like that these days. So let's go quick with the 30-second Hot Zone Getting It Out podcast intro song and then jump into this episode.
Kick it! Make family out of friends! Make friends out of enemies! Peace to my family! Make friends till they bury me. All the places we've been! We're never sitting it out! We be getting it in! Where you getting it out? I said all the places we've been. We're never sitting it out. We'll be getting it in. Where you getting it out? Get in and out!
Hey, so we're trying to move fast on the intro to this one to get right into the meat of things, because everything else I've been doing today has taken way too long, specifically driving to and from Philadelphia. Crazy traffic. I don't know if that had to do with the Eagles sucking today, but it might have. Very well could be. When I stopped to get gas on the way there, I went inside to pay inside, and so I could get myself some caffeine as well. And there was this automated thing that came on while I was at the register, and it said something about the employee is going to go clean and make sure she stays 6 feet away from people and all that. It was clearly something that's put there by corporate. And the lady behind the counter, old gray hair lady, looks at me and goes, "Oh yeah, like I'm gonna go clean. I'm gonna do a real thorough job." Like, you know, and she said it like, "I'm not gonna do shit." And part of me is like, that's cool. I understand not working real hard. But I also don't understand just telling the customer that I'm not going to do my job. You get it, don't you? It was weird. I was standing there with my daughter, so I didn't know what to say to the lady. But I think I just glared at her. And I'm glad that was my response, because I feel like that was the appropriate one. What are you doing, lady? I don't think I'm looking to you for life lessons anyway, being that you're 68 and working behind a gas station counter. Maybe this is what you wanted to do in your retirement years. I don't know. Who am I to judge? Okay, but I don't know. Maybe you should go out there and clean those fucking pumps, huh? Keep your distance from me. I'd prefer that too. Anyway, as I mentioned on this episode, I have an interview with Joseph Isaiah of Seeking Sirens. Joseph is in several bands. I've said that before too, and I'll say it again later, so get used to it. I've enjoyed most of his work, but I specifically and especially enjoy the Seeking Sirens material that I've heard so far. The Seeking Sirens material, of which I'm going to play for you on this episode, because there's only two songs out, one of which I'm going to play for you right now. It's called Splinter. Check out the song Splinter by Seeking Sirens and then listen to my interview with Joseph.
Yeah.
I do want to get to you, man. I do want to get, because, all right, first of all, I've seen your face and know your name from a few different projects at this point. I did an interview with you once, but it was just a text, I think. And it was about From Under Concrete Kings.
That's right.
And that one, you've never seen it because the fucking website I've been working on for 2 years is still stuck. Thanks, COVID. It's been stuck in the...
Stuck in the digital nether realm?
Yeah, the whole thing's stuck. The whole thing's stuck. 2 years, this fucking thing's just been frozen. But anyway, so familiar with a lot of your work. You have a shitload of bands, from what I can tell.
Yeah, I try to stay busy, man. So, like, let me put it to you in the simplest possible way.
Yeah.
I'm very direct in, like, what I want to do. So, like, you know, very... very like logistical and linear and like, you know, my process for doing everything. So it's like, you know, if there's an idea of something that we all want to do, then I doggedly pursue whatever course I need to take to achieve that objective.
Right.
And the problem is when you're in a band, it's like being with like four chicks at the same time. And they're all really needy and moody and like just so like what will happen with any project, and just has been literally every band in my entire life. It'll just stall out for a while, and the gears won't turn.
Yeah,
and you know it's almost always temporary, but it drives me bananas. Like I start flipping out because it's like, right. Hey, what the hell, man? What we said we're going to do this, that, and the other thing. Why aren't we doing this, that, and the other thing? So the idea is I try to keep like at least two or three projects going at any given time. So whenever that time comes up with a project, I just segue and like sideway over to the next one.
Right, yeah.
And stuff with that one until that one starts, like, you know, breaking down for a little bit, and then I go to the next one. And it's all strictly for my own sanity, because if I didn't do that, and, you know, I learned the hard way, of course, because I used to just be, like, a one-band guy, and, like, you know, 110% one-band guy. And then I found out that I was, like, you know, I recognized the pattern of wanting to, like, murder bandmates. That's not good, obviously. So I was like, well, you know, you can't make a tiger change his stripes. So maybe, you know, when this one's doing this thing, I'll just go play with this kitty over here. You know,
right?
I don't know if I'm making any sense, but
no, you are. I can only relate on the fact that I was in one band for about a year. We did two records, and I hated it because I hated they were my best friends, but I couldn't stand them as far as being in a band. It was a motherfucker, and I was glad when it was over. So yeah, I understand.
Yeah, see, me, it's the exact opposite. I would love to have been in a band that got two records done in the year. You know, like usually it's always been like, you know, pulling teeth for a year or 2 years just to like get a band in the studio.
Ironically, the band I was in was with members of Pulling Teeth. Just because you said Pulling Teeth, I gotta say that.
Took me 10 minutes, and I'm already in your mind.
Yeah, there you go.
So, like, you know, and I just, and I also have some projects that are kind of further away. Like, so, you know, Seeking Sirens is like something that I've got stuff coming out for right this minute.
Right.
And, you know, that's actually based in North Carolina, but I live in Massachusetts.
Okay.
So, I kind of, it works out because, like, I'll set up a group of things. Like, you know, like, we're going to do a video shoot, and we're going to do a photo shoot, and we're going to do, like, a thing. And I'll set it up all in one weekend, and then I'll go down there for the weekend, and we'll do all that stuff, and then I'll disappear for 4 to 6 weeks and, like, work on other stuff.
Right. So are you from Massachusetts?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I was going to say, when you were talking earlier, I was like, that is not a fucking North Carolina accent.
No. But I could slide in there real good. I mean, right. You know, I lived down there for a time, and, you know, I could slide right into that real well, you know. Especially if I'm trying to compliment somebody. I'm like, boy, I'm going to tell you two things about 5 minutes. You keep doing that the way you gonna be something, you know. I could slide right into that real well, but no, I have what's known as a Rhode Island accent, because I grew up right on the state line. I grew up in Timmins, Rhode Island, which is on the border of Fall River, Massachusetts, and then I spent the rest of my growing up years in Fall River, Massachusetts. So like, it's not everybody that I see outside of the Northeast, and even like further out of the state, they automatically assume that I'm from Boston.
Right.
But anybody that actually lives in Boston and has a Boston accent knows where I'm from instantly.
Right.
Because they know it's not that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but it's funny. It's, you know, it's a source of enjoyment that I've had for the past, say, 20 years or so. Yeah,
I bet. Well, like I said, the only thing I could tell was that it wasn't North Carolina. It wasn't a Southern, you know.
But you know, you should hear Kevin though. Like, Kevin's the yin to the yang for Seeking Sirens. It's our project, you know. Like, we got some great guys that have been playing for us and helping us out, but it's really like our brainchild. And man, that dude is so Southern.
Yeah.
And it takes everything I have not to make fun of him and his voice all the time, but I also really love it. So it's like, you know, it's like a love and mock thing, but I don't want to hurt his feelings, so I keep my mouth shut.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing about like accents like that is that I hear like a Midwest or a Southern accent, and automatically in my head, I'm like, that person's a moron. But they're usually way smarter than I am. It's just they have goofy sounding voice to me.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah. That's almost 99 times out of 100, that's usually the case. Like, you know, like people assume that I'm mean because I have like, you know, I generally sit in like a northeastern accent.
Right.
So people automatically assume I'm mean, but not mean. Actually, really nice. Not to everybody, but for the most part, I do aspire. So, but you know, it's just one of those things, you know, booked by covers and all that jazz.
Yeah, there you go. But all right, so for you, you grew up there. I'm in Pennsylvania, so you're up there. Where did you come up? When did you discover metal? Let's just say metal.
I don't know, man. Metallica came out in the 90s on the radio.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think Load came out. Up until then, I liked, like, you know, hip-hop and, like, whatever classic rock my folks listened to.
Right.
And then, like, Load came out, and it was like a, you know, in retrospect it wasn't, but at the time it was like a whole other universe for me.
Right.
And then not too many years after that, I went to my first local show in Fall River, and it was just, like, mayhem. It was just, like, you know, thrash bands and, like, hardcore bands all in the same, like, 10-band bill. And the only reason I went there was because this chick wanted me to go, and I naturally, you know, had a thing for the chick, you know, obviously. So I went, but like, but by the time, like, after half an hour being there, I was just like not even paying her any mind. I was like, man, this is so cool, and I was like, this is what I want to do.
Is there any chance that the show in Fall River featured the band Fall River?
No.
All right, just what? So, but I did want to ask about like your local. Who were you going to see locally? Like, what was the local bands for you?
Man, like we had late 90s, early 2000s, we had a lot of traveling bands from like the East Coast in general. So like, you know, there was like local bands like Cobalt, Their Thy Will Be Done Now. Like those were like the hometown guys. And then we had like, you know, but we had E-Town Concrete coming up all the time.
Yeah, one of the best ever.
Yeah. and we had, I think Canderia came up this way, you know, like, we had a lot of those bands like that, you know, Aftershock, they came down from Western Mass once or twice, played out here, you know. Yeah. Well, they came out a lot more times than once or twice, but like I caught them, you know, like it's just a lot of bands like Madball, Sworn Enemy, you know, new hardcore bands. And, you know, that's just like, it was kind of one of those things, like we were a stop if a band was trying to book a run and couldn't get a show in Providence, then like we'd get them on the South Shore somewhere, like New Bedford at the New Wave Cafe, or like a Fall River show at like the PAL or something like that.
Gotcha.
Which is, you know, and that's just kind of like we got the leftovers basically.
So were you more into like the hardcore side of things, or were you in the metal, or was everything just didn't matter?
Honestly, I was a meathead back then, so if it was heavy and had a lot of chugs, I was liking it.
Yeah. I think we all were then.
Yeah. I was like, oh, dude, this is heavy. Yeah. And then, you know, that's all I needed to hear.
I get it. I was there. I was, well, not physically there, but I was doing the same thing in Pennsylvania. You know, that was especially. I'm in Lancaster now. Which is, but I grew up in New York, which is like 45 minutes north of Baltimore. So Baltimore was basically, and I lived in Baltimore for years. Baltimore was basically my local.
Yeah.
Locals. Basically. I mean, we go to Philly too, but it was, you know, it was central Pennsylvania and Baltimore. So pretty much the same sounding, the same sounds, the same bands. Yeah.
You were just on the other side of the Nautilus, like the clan, you know, the shell, the spiral.
Yeah, right.
Or like bands from New York and New Jersey, they would branch out that way and they would branch up north.
Right.
And then it's up in Massachusetts would like branch up north New Hampshire, Maine, and like branch out Western Mass, upstate New York, and then down Jersey, New York.
Exactly.
You know, so, yeah, it's just, you know, that little helix. Everybody had their helix.
Right.
So,
well, you know, everybody also has the thing that I can't figure out is what is the tri-state area? Is that a term that is used up there?
No.
Okay.
That's a New York, New Jersey thing, but I don't know what the other state is.
Okay, because I can tell you that it depends what state you're in. Pennsylvania always includes himself in the tri-state area, but you'll get told, you can be in Maryland, and they'll say they're the tri-state area, and they'll be like, it's Maryland, Delaware, Pennsylvania, or it's Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, or it's... Yeah, right. Neither do I. Apparently I've lived in it several times, but I just want to nail down where the fuck this tri-state area is. What three states are in it? Because
I got a feeling if we Googled it right now, we probably both would be wrong.
Yeah. Yes. But it's funny that there's like six states in the tri-state area. But, you know, that's the way we define things now anyway.
Well, okay. It makes sense. Everybody's got a duality complex.
Right. There you go. So, when did you start playing in bands?
I started messing around in high school in really awful, god-awful local bands. But I made some really cool friends along the way. You know, one or two I still actually talk to this day.
Yeah.
And it's really weird because, like, you know, I've seen so many generations now at this point, like generations of bands and musicians come and go, mm-hmm. that, like, you know, like, I don't know, like, I feel like super old. Like, it's just like, you know, there's literally age groups of like bands that like know me, that I know and see around, and like almost all of them aren't doing anything anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, and I just never stopped. Like, I got into it in high school and I just never stopped.
Have you always been the singer?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't have the musical talent to play an instrument. I've got a good ear.
You clearly have the skill of a vocalist. I've heard, and obviously that's what you do now. And I've heard you on, like I said, several different bands, a few different styles, all heavy, right, for the most part. And you fucking know what you're doing, and that has never been more clear than when I listened to the Seeking Siren stuff, and the range you put on that one, where all the two songs that are out, Splinter and Surface, where it was like, oh shit, all right, this guy's got it down. So,
thanks, man, I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. When did this band start? When did Seeking Sirens
assemble? You know, so Kevin Wilson, who's my counterpart in Seeking Sirens, he was in a band with my brother for years called Fear the United. They're still quasi-active. They're still, like, recording some stuff. They don't have anything tabled, like, with hard lines or whatever. But they're still, like, kind of doing stuff.
Yeah.
And they were a band for years. And, you know, I had a few bands that I had, like, several-year runs with, like Structure Fails, To Die This Night, City of Homes, that had, like, several-year runs overlapping. So, like, we would get, you know, we'd do shows together all the time, like, you know, like, you know, Structure Fails, I brought them down there. We played some shows with those dudes. Then I brought them up here to play with City of Homes for a few shows, you know, and then like they'd have a cool show someplace, like a CD release or whatever. And I would surprise my brother and just drive down just for the weekend, just a couple times to show, you know, like, and we had always the guitar player, Kevin, like we hit it off right away from the first day we met, which was like 11 years ago now. And, you know, we were always like, man, you know, he'd always tell me, like, man, I'll tell you, it'd be great, man, if we, like, you know, work on a project or something, man, that'd be great. And I'd be like, hell yeah, man, anytime you play guitar, awesome, man, you know, you're a great writer, blah, blah, blah. I love the Fear the United stuff. Like, yeah, man, that'd be great. I would love to do that. And, you know, we would bullshit about it for, like, you know, 10 years until something finally came up. And, like, 2 years ago, it was like, yeah, man, I got some stuff. And I was like, all right, yeah, I'll make it work. And we just kind of started, like, working on it from there. But we've been friends forever. So it's an interesting dynamic because I've like done guest vocals on like some of their records, and I like, you know, I've done guest vocals live at some of their shows. We played shows together, so like we have the camaraderie, like we've been in a band together for 10 years even though we haven't.
Yeah,
it's an interesting dynamic that's really cool. But yeah, it's basically how it came up, and it was just a recording thing, and you know, it just started moving along, and we just, you know, I've been trying to put out digital content, a lot of visual stuff. So, like, you know, I was like, oh, man, I want to do a few videos for this release, you know, this string or whatever. And they've been doing really well. Like, the YouTube channel's been doing awesome. And, you know, it's kind of snowballing. So, like, we're getting to that point now where it's like, all right, we should book some shows for, like, you know, the late fall or whatever, and kind of time it with the, you know, the next single release, which will be, like, probably the rest of our record. We did five songs in that string. So, like, you know, time it all up, line it up for the late fall and kind of get into it. It'd be rad. So that's basically.
So would this, would Seeking Sirens be considered maybe, or was it moved along because of COVID, because of the pandemic, because of being locked down?
No, unfortunately, because I never stopped working. In fact, I haven't stopped working more since
right,
I went
right.
Because I work in a healthcare setting. I work at a group home. Like, I work for the Department of Mental Health. Like, you know, so like, we had like 14 people out of 45 just at my program that were just out of caution taken off the schedule for 2 weeks. So like, right. I was pulling like 110 hour weeks for like 3 months. Yeah, right. It was crazy. And I was still like in the middle of recording the Secret Seeking Siren stuff, working on that stuff, working on the Sour Time stuff, finishing up the last couple of releases for the last round of From Under Concrete Kings, and working on like a secret and a super secret project that I haven't announced yet. And I was doing all of that while I was working these crazy hours. So I was like a zombie.
Where do you do that on? Do you record it all yourself? Do you go to somebody?
I do 99% of my vocal tracking over at Yucky Studios in East Hampton, Mass. He's been out there for a few years working on A Disappearing Mountain, which is with this dude Kevin Gibo, but I work with Chris Danielli. I started working with him when we first started demoing out stuff at City of Homes. That's when I first met him, and we just clicked when we started tracking together. Like, you know, like we just had really good chemistry. He had a good ear. Like, he instantly knew what I was capable of, and he instantly, like, he knew if I could get something better, and then he knew when to say, like, hey, that was awesome. Stop trying to get that perfect, because that was awesome. Like, and just to have somebody like that kind of just instantly gets that read on you of like, no, you can do that better. Or like, no, that's awesome. You're nuts. Right. We're moving. To have that is huge. So like, he's moved studios a couple times and I've just stayed with him this whole time. So he's my guy. So he's mixed and mastered a lot of my stuff, but you know, for other like instrumentation and stuff, we've had other people do it. And you know, I've mixing and mastering, we've had City of Homes, we had Zeus, Chris Zeus Harris do one of our records, and you know, Joel Strutzel did one of our singles. But you know, 99% of the vocal recordings were all with Chris Danielli, because that's my guy. That's my game genie.
You know? I hear you. Well, you like I mentioned, I'm familiar with a lot of your stuff. A lot of your different. There's City of Homes, right? There's From Under Concrete Kings, Sour Times, which feels like that just came out too, by the way.
April.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So again, so when I saw your name attached to another thing, I was like, "What the fuck, man? What's this guy doing?"
It's gonna get worse. Yeah. It's gonna get worse. Oh yeah.
I hear the difference in Seeking Sirens from these other projects. But for the people who will hear this and aren't familiar, what is the difference? What is the difference about Seeking Sirens and all your other projects?
Well, Seeking Sirens is a much different post-production. So Kevin's been doing a lot of the mixing, and he's got a really great ear, and he does things really different than, you know, a lot of the guys that I've worked with in the past. So he's really good in-house. He's got a really nice studio in his house that he does all his mixing out of. And so comparing it to other bands, it's more... Vocally, I would say it's more polished, because he spends a lot of time just doing stuff to my vocals that just make them sound different to like other stuff, you know, like it's weird. And I was actually hesitant with him along the way for some of that stuff. And I was like, you know, eventually it came to the point where I was like, I just got to let him do his thing. You know, he's got a vision in his head.
Right.
Just let him run, you know. So vocally, it's different. And that's, you know, mostly because of Kevin, because I just, you know, I kind of always have written my what I produce to what is given to me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if there's a melodic part, I'm going to sing. If there's a scream part, if there's a heavy part, I'm going to scream. You know, if there's a breakdown, I'm going to do low end. If there's like fast stuff, I'm going to do like high raspy stuff. You know, like it's not necessarily formulaic, because I do change it around. But, you know, I've got a few things that you'll see me do for certain types of riffs that I get put in front of me that, you know, that's what makes sense to me. That's what sounds cool to me.
Sure.
And it's different this time around because, you know, there's a lot more production on the vocals from Kevin, which I'm not used to having to deal with that. But, you know, it's different with him because I've never actually had that dynamic with him before. So compared to other bands, it's going to be, you know, you're going to look at this and be like, okay, this stuff is just super tight, super crisp, like excellently produced, just like as perfect as you could possibly get it. Whereas, you know, by comparison, Sour Times is more of a hardcore band.
Sure.
And that's like just raw. Like, you know, I wouldn't worry about getting the right take, you know, in terms of getting it perfect, but I would like, you know, the energy and the emotion had to be right.
That was
the goal for that, you know, and then compared to like From Under Concrete Kings, damn, man, I was just trying to like, figure out vocals that would fit to that stuff because Josh is just such a wild guitar player and he's really mathy and genty and stuff, and that's like a newer thing for me. So it was more like just making sure that like I could kind of get a song structure out of the crazy collection of riffs that Josh would give me.
Yeah.
So, you know, like that's more like crazy, over the top, super heavy, but like super melodic, super technical. And then, like, City of Homes was more metalcore, just like, you know, a little more formulaic, but like we had some different elements that we brought in, which was really cool. Like,
I'd say it was a little thrashier too,
a little more thrashy. We get pop punky in parts, and just like Breakdown Kings, man, but like not like crazy breakdowns, just like groovy, you know, more groovy instead of like crazy and heavy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that basically would be like the roundabout run of the mill. Like, yeah, that's kind of how I would differentiate them all.
Well, that's the Seeking Sirens when I first listened to it. And like you said, the way it was polished. The first song I heard was Surface. Is Surface the more melodic one or is it Splinter?
Oh, yeah, Surface. Yeah. That it's funny. A funny story about Surface. I did have screams in there. And like, and it was funny because Kevin was scared to like send me a mix up because he wound up like, took all the screams out.
Yeah.
Took some layers out. Like he kind of like just was like, man, this is just what I had in my head, whatever. And I was pissed. I was so mad. And my brother actually came in and mediated that and was like, dude, this song's awesome. You don't need the screams there. Like you need to let him do his thing. And I was like, all right, I'm still mad about it.
Well, I got to tell you, when I hit play on it, I thought, well, this sounds like it's supposed to go on the fucking radio, and at first I meant it to myself in like a bad way, and then like as I listened to it, I was like, no, but it's good. Like it's good though. It sounds like me just being how I am. I wanted to not like it because of what it sounded like initially, and then by the end of it, and by now I've listened to it, you know, 100 times. I'm like, yeah, no, that's a great song, and the like you're saying, the polish of it it sounds like that song could go on the radio right now and be successful.
Like, you know, that was kind of what my brother was telling me too. He was like, dude, this is like, you know, this is something that you'd see on like XM. I'm like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like right along like Five Finger and stuff, you know, like that kind of stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's not my thing, but that's cool. You know,
That's what I'm saying for me too. Like that's typically not my thing. But then when you listen to it, it doesn't get offensive at any point. I was not like offended by it at all. You know.
I made sure of that. Like, you know, I don't like to, I don't like to do melodic stuff for melodic sake to like, you know, to try to be poppy.
Right.
Like,
right.
Like I said, I try to write to what gets delivered to me. So, you know, like then that's what I did. But like, you know, if it happens to fall in that way, hey, that's cool too. You know, but that's not me. So like, it was a culture shock seeing, you know, Splinter come out.
Yeah,
because that's like, you know, and I made sure to let everybody know, like, that's illustrating like more along the line of what we're coming out with subsequent releases. Don't get me wrong, Splinter's got a lot of great melodics in it. Right. It's got a hook, blah blah blah. The other songs on, you know, that are going to come out, they also have like, you know, good hooks, melodic stuff. But you know, they bring the pain because that's what I'm about. You know,
right? That's what I was going to ask, is that there's these two different songs that are sonically a little different. I mean, they clearly are the same band. But which one is better represents what Seeking Sirens sounds like? Is
as of right now, Splinter. As of right now, yeah, Splinter. But, you know, we've got more stuff coming down the pipe. And, you know, like, Surface was so well received.
Right.
And so many people were like, dude, what are you doing? This is like, I didn't know you could do this. And I was like, I don't know what you mean. You know, like, you know. But we got such great feedback from it that, like, yeah, we probably will, you know, as time goes by, do, like, you know, here and there, some strictly melodic stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's groovy, whatever. Like, yeah, for sure. You know, like, the whole point of it is, like, man, we just want to put out stuff that, like, we're happy with.
Right.
You know, and it's like, and at the end of the day, that's how I had to look at it, was like, yeah, you know, even though it wasn't I had initially envisioned, like, yeah, I'm really happy with it. It came out really good. And man, everybody liked it. So, you know, how can I be mad at that? You know what I mean? So
no, especially it did, and it's melodic, it's catchy, and it's metal still, and doesn't, and it avoids that cornball territory. But I don't know what gets you in it, but you know it when you hear it. You know when you hear it.
And I've been doing this a long time, and I still don't even know what gets you in it, but I know it when I hear it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I still don't know exactly what they do to make it go that way, but then, like, oh, man, yeah, no, that's going to
be. Yeah, the minute it veers into that area, you know, and yeah. And that didn't, and again, I felt like I was expecting to hear that as I was listening to Surface, and it just didn't happen, which is great.
Yeah,
which is awesome.
Well, you know, everybody else that was listening to it, like, yeah, man, I kept waiting for the breakdown to come. You know, I can't wait for you to start screaming, and you never did. And I was like, "Yeah, I know, crazy, right?"
Well, so like I said, I'd heard you do, you know, most of your vocal range before, but did you? I guess this goes to the question too, where you mentioned all the post production on the vocals. Are you capable of singing like that in a live setting?
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, it just that's always been my shtick with, like, you know, post production, having people mix stuff, and I was like, hey man, you know, if it's the difference between, like, you know, like, hey, I just didn't get this one little thing right here, and you can just nudge that so the take's perfect, right, that's fine. But, like, you don't, like, I quit a band. I'm not gonna say which band.
Yeah.
But I straight up called the guitarist / vocalist on Thanksgiving Day when I found out this happened, because, like, the guy that was engineering this and mixing and mastering it, like, he auto-tuned my stuff. I never sang anything like what I heard from the final product that he gave me on the last mix.
Yeah.
And I had all these crazy notes of, like, yeah, hey, you need to undo this stuff. Like, basically what the problem was the guitarist did a lot of the primary vocals too, for, like, especially melodic stuff. And instead of, you know, him doing his homework and coming in and knowing what he was supposed to do and making it work with what I had done, they just auto-tuned my stuff to do whatever he came up with on the fly in the studio that day. And I was like, yeah, no, you can do that to his stuff.
Right.
Like, I did my homework. I did what I was supposed to do. Like, you know, we're going to keep this like this. And I had a laundry list of notes. And, you know, they all got compiled through this dude. And almost all of my notes and the final notes were gone because, like, you know, he did that a record before and I caught him. And this time I made sure, like, to hit the engineer up and be like, hey, man, not going to have you get in the middle of it, but whatever the compiled final notes are, like, just forward that back to me. I just want to make sure that, like, my stuff got on there, whatever. Of course, it didn't. I found out. I blew this kid's phone up. I was like, yo, Thanksgiving Day. He's like, I'm blowing up his phone. Picks up. I'm like, hey, pull my vocals from this record. You can keep the lyrics because I'm not going to punish the rest of the band for you being a fucking asshole. Part of my life. But yeah, pull my vocals from this record. I'm done. Fuck you. Don't ever talk to me again. And I hung up the phone. And yeah, and I think I've seen him one time since. And I was just like, and he tried to, like, say, I'm like, don't fucking look me in the eye, bro. I got nothing to fucking say to you, dude. You know, like,
yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, but coming back full circle anyway, sorry about story time.
Story time's great. That's the shit I need, yes.
Yeah. So it's like one of those things, like, hey, you know, if it was just a matter of, like, oh, you know, I was just a hair flat or just a hair sharp on this one note on this chorus line here, yeah, that's cool, man. Go ahead and do what you got to do, work your magic, so, you know, so I don't got to sit there and try and take it over and over again.
Right.
But, you know, once you start, like, you know, changing the notes of what I'm singing, like, who knows if I can even sing that live? I don't know. I try to. So, you know, fortunately, Kevin's got such a great ear that, like, he just kind of knew what to do with it, you know, yeah. Like, and he's been friends of mine for so long that, like, he knows what I can do. And, like, you know, he knows like, where my voice sits.
Right.
So,
right.
Especially when I'm doing melodic stuff. So he just kind of, like, went through it and, you know, it was, like, stupid stuff. Like, it was the first time I'd ever, like, doubled up on all my vocal recordings. Mm-hmm. Usually I just do, like, straight, you know, a single take, and then I'll do layers of, like, other stuff, like layered screams, harmonies, stuff like that. For this project, he wanted me to double up every single thing I did. Just a complete, like, take it again and get it exactly right. And I guess that's kind of what he wanted to do with it. So, like, you know, all my stuff is in there. And then, like, for anything that he wanted to tweak, he would just use the other one and then just slide.
Can you explain? I know because I was a singer and recorded vocals myself too. But can you explain to people doubling up that might not understand what phrase you're talking about?
So if anybody that knows anything about audio at all, and that's just like using a stereo system. The reason they call it stereo is because it's two sides, left and a right.
Right.
So when you record vocals on a microphone, you're not recording left and right. You're just recording left. You're just recording a mono signal. So in post, you know, you can spread that out so it becomes a stereo signal, but it's better if you just have the replicated signal over again, so you can like have a full stereo track of, you know, your vocals. But that's a lot of work. Like, I've never done it, and I've had records come out great without it, with just, you know, doing, I don't know what they do. I couldn't tell you what they do, but, you know, an engineer knows what to do. It's some sort of thing or whatever to make my mono signal, which is just me singing and flattening it and splitting it out over the spectrum so it becomes stereo.
Right.
But he didn't want that. He wanted me to actually, like, go through and do it. And I can see the results of that now. Like, that's kind of cool. I still ain't going to do it. You know, I'll do it for him.
The trick with that is, though, is you got to do it exactly the same two times.
Yeah.
Relatively. Like in my example for people listening that might not understand this is that, like, I'm recording this conversation right now in mono because there's no way. Like, if I did it in stereo, it would be you in one ear, me in the other.
Exactly.
We can't double that. We can't have this exact conversation again, right? So you got to record it in mono and then split it into whatever, and, you know, make it work in stereo. But for your takes, you gotta mirror it basically.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to either mirror it or you've got to get super close.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it took like, you know, usually because I pay for my studio time, like I don't pull in favors or whatever, like, you know. I like my guy, I work with my guy, I pay for his time.
Yeah.
So I pay for my studio time, and it usually takes me anywhere from 2 to 3 hours, depending on how in-depth the vocals are going to be to actually track a song, soup to nuts on vocals.
Yeah.
Two to three hours. I'll come back another day on another session, and I'll make little fixes here and there, 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever. But by and large, 2 to 3 hours to track a song. But for the Seeking Siren stuff, it was all 5 hours minimum because I had to go and double up everything.
Right,
and it was just like, you know. And, you know, he wanted me, Kevin really wanted me to go down there and record. But it was like, you know, yeah, hey, you know, that's great. But, dude, you're in North Carolina. Like, I'm in Massachusetts. Like, you know, like, yeah, I'm going to save some money by going to record with you. But, I mean, I still got to spend, like, you know, $300-$400 just to get down there.
Yeah.
To get there, you know what I mean? It's like, so... But it wound up costing me a lot of money, and I, you know, it wasn't a big deal. If you're passionate about something, you don't care about that sort of thing within reason.
Sure.
And the songs were so cool, and we've been talking about doing it for so long that I was just like, yeah, sure, man, whatever you want.
Right.
You know? I get like that sometimes if I'm excited about something. Whatever you want. Whatever you want, I'll do it for you. Whatever you want. What do you want? I'll do it. You know?
Well, and it seems like you have a great relationship with these guys. And are you familiar with the other guys in the band? Or, I mean, obviously you are, but are you as familiar with them as you were, Kevin?
Yeah, Ryan and AJ, I met them through this project. Like, Kevin lined these guys up to come to come and fill out the band. So, like, I didn't meet them until we started working together. But, I mean, you know, I've been at this racket a long time. I can get along with just about anybody as long as they're not a dick.
So that's the key, usually. Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, you don't even got to be that nice. Just don't be mean. And then,
no, you can be weird. You can be a little strange and annoying, but just don't be an asshole. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so But yeah, I didn't know them until then. It was just like, you know, but Kevin's got such a good read on people. Like, he just has a good, you know, eye for character, I guess. Because, sure. Like, man, we just hit it off right away. You know, we're like, we're hanging out after doing shoots and stuff, you know, and like, you know, we're just talking about this, that, and the other thing, getting to know each other. And it was like, man, it all just gelled right away.
Right. You know,
it's like, these are people I didn't know from a hole in the wall, but like, you know, Kevin knew or whatever and brought him in. It was like, man, this is awesome. You know, like, so I'm so excited to like actually like play on a stage with those dudes. Like, it's going
to
be
How often have you been able to, or how many times have you been able to actually play with them? I know you guys got a couple of videos done. I assume those were like shot, you know, all at the same time just because of the locations.
No. I went down there. Like I said, I'd schedule a shoot. Like, we'd schedule a shoot, figure out a location, whatever, get a date locked in for that weekend, and then we'd plug a few things into that weekend and make a weekend out of it, you know? And, you know, we've also done that before. Because, like I said, my brother still lives down there. I go to visit, you know, and, you know, I'm doing my thing down there. And so I've got people that I got to see anyway. So I go down there, you know, and make sure that I, like, at least hit them up. Be like, hey, what are you guys doing? We want to get together, you know? So we do get together rather often. I've had a fruit fly in my studio here for like 6 days.
I was driving nuts. Yeah,
he's driving crazy because I can't catch him. But yeah, so when we get down there, and you know, it's just they practice together more. But right. I mean, I haven't practiced with the band except for a rehearsal before a show or a run in a couple years. I make sure when I'm recording stuff, like, hey, yeah, get me an instrumental of that. And then, like, I'll run it through my PA, and I rehearse that way. I run through a set, you know. Once I figure out what it is, I'll, you know, twice a week, three times a week even, you know, I'll run through that set, singing the whole thing, making sure, you know, that I'm good. So, in theory, the idea being I just get down there, you know, the night before a show, we do a quick run through of the set, I'm golden.
Right.
But, you know, that's just because the last several bands I've been doing have been like with people all over the place. City of Homes, for example, you know, that was out in Western Mass, which you don't really know Massachusetts so well, but like, so I'm out here in Taunton, which is like a half hour east of Providence, Rhode Island, and about 45 minutes south of Boston. Huh. Like, the other guitarist that I was working with lived all the way out in Westfield, Mass, which is like 2 hours away. And then we had John Keita from Diecast in that band. He lives in New York City. And then we had our drummer, Freddie. He was up in, like, North Central Mass, so, like, almost the, like, you know, Vermont line or whatever.
Right.
So, like, we had people from all over, and then, like, you know, we would get together and, like, all make that commute. So it was tough. You know, we had a bass player that was living out in Tennessee for a while, blah, blah, blah. So, like, we had – it was, like, it was a to-do. So that being said, like, if we're not really going to get much outside of a quick rehearsal, you know – as we get together to load out to go for whatever run we're doing or whatever shows, whatever, like, we all do our homework at home.
Sure.
And like, especially on the bus or whatever, like, you know, I'll be driving and those dudes would just be like playing their guitars together. No amps, no nothing, just to make sure they're tight, you know?
Right.
So that's kind of how I've been doing that. Cause I got into that mode with those guys and that's kind of how we've been doing it ever since.
So you're well prepared. It sounds like you just take it with you take it seriously, and
I wouldn't go that far, because if I really took it seriously, like, I probably would have murdered somebody by then.
Well, all right, seriously might not be the word. You take it, you treat it with respect, I should say.
Like I've been doing this too long to like go to a show and suck.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, I'm gonna do whatever I need to do to make sure I don't suck that day. But, you know, like, within reason. And then, but it's funny because life has a funny way of like throwing wrenches in your gears. Like, you'll go and practice and practice and practice, and then you'll go on a run and you'll get the flu.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's happened to me so many times. It's like why did I even bother? Why did I even bother? You know, just like, okay, whatever.
Well, has Seeking Sirens played any shows yet?
We haven't even played our first show yet.
Yeah, that's what that's what I assume.
Yeah,
You have these two songs, Splinter and Surface, out. You mentioned, I think, that there's five. I think you said it's part of a record, but I don't know. What is the plan, and what should be expected in the near future from Seeking Sarah.
The last that me and Kevin had talked about it, you know, it was like, this is kind of how I wanted to do it, whatever, because I've got other projects that I'm working on that have like release schedules, and I'm trying to make sure that I have the time and the resources to make everything work and give everything its proper diligence as it comes. Right. So if I was like, well, if we're going to do this, then, like, you know, we're going to release one more single. We'll do a video for that one, but we'll release the rest of the, you know, the other two songs that are unreleased along with the two we've already put out. We're going to release that 5-song EP with that release of that next single with the video, and gotcha. And then go and play some shows, get some merch printed up, go play some shows. Not a lot of shows, just, you know, because everything's crazy with COVID. Like, you've got festivals going on in some states and, like, 200 cap rooms that are at half capacity in other states. It's a hot mess. It's crazy. So I'm not going to do anything crazy, but, you know, definitely, like, we'll do a couple shows. I'll do a couple shows down there, and I'll bring the guys up here and, like, do, like, a Mass Rhode Island type thing or whatever, Boston, Providence, whatever.
Right.
And that'll be it for the year into the winter, spring. That's the plan.
Nice. So is there any physical release coming from Seeking Sirens, or is this all going to be?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll definitely press some CDs. Usually, like, whenever I do a pressing, it's somewhere between $300 and $500, depending on, like, the price point or whatever, because, it's expensive. But there'll definitely be a physical press. I'm old school, so, like, I like having, I like having that CD in the jewel case with the cellophane wrap. And be like, I made this. Yeah. I made this thing. This is my thing. I made it.
That brings a good question up that I like to ask for anybody that's coming out with a new record. Because I feel like the answer is a little different for everybody. But when you have a new release like this, what is the most exciting part of getting it out, of releasing it? Like, even if it's for any of your bands, when you have a new album, EP, whatever, like, what... Is it just getting it physically in your hand, or is it getting the people to hear it? Like, what's the?
Well, I mean, it depends, because the last From Under Concrete Kings record we didn't press CDs for, and that was just because of COVID. It's like, well, I'm not gonna go and drop all this loot and press a bunch of CDs when we can't even play,
right?
You know, and then so I don't know, man. It was when people can hear it is probably the best thing, but like. For some reason, don't ask me why, I've gotten critiqued by, friend and foe alike of, like, why are you trying to do all these fucking videos, man? You know, like, what the hell's the deal? And I'm like, I don't know, man. I've released a lot of records over the years, and I've released a lot of material over the years, but, I don't have a lot of visual content out there. So now that I'm in a position where I can kind of do whatever the hell I want, then, that's what I want to do. I want to do a lot of visual stuff to go in tandem with, my audio stuff. Not to say that I'm any, George Clooney or anything to look at, mind you. That doesn't mean I can't think of some cool ideas for some videos, especially the last round of Concrete King stuff. Like, man, I went ham, like, just, picking up stuff. And we did some really cool video work with that last run. And that was just me, like, I'm doing whatever the hell I want. And Josh was just like, you go for it. Because I did whatever the hell I want. I made you suffer through so much having to go and track stuff over this mess I gave you. You go ahead. Do whatever you want. I was like, awesome. So that's kind of – I get the biggest sense of accomplishment and joy when a single drops with the video in tandem. Like, that just makes my day. It's like, hey, man, I put out this song. This is awesome. I put a lot of work into it. Blood, sweat, tears, all that stuff. And then, like, man, I made this video happen too. And, like, it's cool, like, whatever. And it's just nice to, like, have that out and see it, because, like, nobody really in an unsigned project, which I've been in unsigned my entire career.
Yeah.
Like, nobody at my level does what I do, pretty much.
Right.
And that's kind of really all that I want to do. Like, I kind of want to do as much professional stuff as possible that's up at that echelon of, like, signed bands, as close as I could possibly get it.
Yeah.
Without the label support and the management company supporting me, or what, like, just I'm making it happen on my own. That's why I get such an incredible sense of accomplishment and joy when, like, that single drops, the video come out, the video looks good, the song came out good, and people are digging it, and I can look at it and be like, wow, man, I put this together.
Yeah.
This is cool.
Yeah. No, that's I really like that. It's a cool answer. And like you said, With these Seeking Sirens songs and the videos and the professionalism of it, the level, the quality that you're putting out for these two songs, at least so far. I mean, you wouldn't know that there's no label support or any of that shit. Is label support something that do you want to keep it DIY? Or are you?
Can I quote Mark Twain?
No, or you can quote whoever you want, and I won't even know if it's real. So you can say.
I'm gonna quote Mark Twain for you. I don't want to be in any club that would actually have me as a member.
Fair enough.
Paraphrased a little bit, but it's like, yeah, nah, man. You know, like, label support's cool, but you know, it's just I find that that's just an amplification of a problem that already exists with bands. There's too many chiefs and there's not enough Indians.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And it's like, that's not to say that, like, you know, I run roughshod over people. I don't. I try to get people, I try to make it a partnership as much as I can with everybody I work with. But, you know, like, I don't got time to, like, hang around and not do stuff. So, like, you know, hey, if you got an idea, I'm going to run with it. Unless I think it's a bad idea, you know, I'll tell you. But even then, I'll still probably run with it just because you had an idea.
Right.
That's cool. You're contributing.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I'm in a group, in a band with a group of guys and nobody knows what they want to do, or, like, they like, have a half-formed thing, like, well, this would be cool. I'm the guy that goes, okay, so we're going to do that thing. Let's do that. And then I'm the guy that makes that get done. So, you know, that doesn't sit well with everybody, but on the other side of the token, it's like, dude, you know, you can just ask Kevin, because, like, this is sonically, this is kind of his baby. Like, I'm doing my part, but putting everything together, drums, bass, guitar, vocals, samples, like all that stuff, like this is his baby, and you know, that's what he wants to do. I'm gonna let him do it. You know what I mean? Like, so it kind of works out. But it's like, hey, if you know, I want to do this, that, and the other thing, can we do that? Okay, cool. And then we just go to do it, because I don't know, man. I just, life's too short, dude. You know, like, I don't want to be in a band for 5 years and be like, oh, you know, yeah, we like released a demo or two and like played some shows and like, you know,
right.
Like I don't have time for that. I just don't have time for that. And it's not a sense of pride or anything like that or whatever. It's just, you know, I just come from, you know, a culture from my family onward to, like, you know, where I grew up of, like, you know, there's only two types of people. There's people that don't do it, and then there's the people that do it right.
Yeah, it's work ethic. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like an old school, like, blue collar thing. Like it's like, no, man. I show up to work every day. I give it 110%, and I expect 110% from my return. Right. You know what I mean? So it's like, hey, like, you know, I'm going at this like a goddamn dog, like bees on a honey dip dog. I'm going after it. So if I'm going after it, I don't expect anybody to put forth the same amount of energy that I put forth, but don't you dare get in my way.
Yeah.
You know, don't make it hard for me. Because once you make it hard, it's like, my brain can't process it. So, like, you know, that's where I start getting irrational. But for the people that are smart enough to be like, nah, man, you know, I'm gonna try and steer this ship a little bit, but I'm going to let Joe do his thing.
Yeah.
We wind up doing some cool stuff.
Well, like I said, and your work ethic, obviously, I've noticed it. Just like I said, with your fucking name is on 600 bands, and you know, I've heard you several different times doing several different styles, and just over the last few years too. And this one, I think this one, Seeking Sirens, is the coolest one yet. I did really like the Sour Times records, by the way. But
awesome, thank you.
But this one is the, and this is Seeking Sirens, the two songs that I've heard so far, Splinter and Surface, right? Like I said, it's the best that I've heard you do so far, and it was kind of the least expected as well. So I think that's cool.
The Seeking Sirens stuff is like the coolest stuff I've done to date in terms of, like, you know, just awesome songwriting. And that's not to take away from anything that I've done before or that I'm still working on. Like, I love the Sour Times stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to be playing shows soon. Like we just got, like, a drummer to come play with us. And, like, I'm so excited to bring that band to a stage and play that stuff live. From Under Concrete Kings is working on our third EP. Like, I'm so excited to get, like, done. Not to take away anything from that stuff. But the Seeking Sirens is, like, man, that's like the crown right now.
Yeah.
But I'm still salivating over the crown jewel that's going to be announced in a few weeks. And I'm like, man, this is so cool. This is, like, the best stuff I've ever done. And you know, like, I'm so happy that I get to follow it up with something that's going to be on that caliber and possibly better.
Right.
So, like, it's been awesome. And, you know, if you would have told me 10 years ago that, like, I was going to get this much stuff done in a span of, like, 3 years, I would have told you were crazy.
Right.
And that was just because I had a very different mindset about, you know, getting stuff done. Like, you know, it was like, it basically wound up being like I said, it's like you're in a band with four girlfriends, you know? They don't want, you know, they like the idea of doing the stuff. But when it actually comes to, like, gathering the resources, sacrificing the time to do the stuff that you fantasize about, that's when everybody fucking disappears. Everybody goes fudge bye-bye.
Right.
So, you know, and I would get frustrated over that for so long. And then I just kind of, like, clicked into my head. I'm like, well, you know what? If that's how it's going to be, then, you know, I'm just going to take what they say and be like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. And then I'm just going to make it happen. And then if they complain, I'd be like, what are you complaining for? This is what you wanted. This is what you wanted. I made it happen. Yeah. Oh, you didn't get to have your input at every little step of the way, but you didn't pay anything or put any time in or do anything to get it. So, like, you know, but it was exactly what you wanted. So I don't see why you're mad right now. Like, you know, like, but you can't tell a girl that.
Yeah.
That's what I keep saying about the four girlfriends. It's like no. You can't tell a girl that. But it's true.
It's true. Yeah. It's very true.
So, yeah, but I'm so happy that with everything that's going on and just, you know, all the stuff we've done and, man, with the rest of the Seeking Siren stuff is awesome. Like, dude, the next one we got coming out is just, man, you know, again, I've been swearing a little bit and I'm sorry about that. I probably should ask about it.
No, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Dude, this next one we got coming out is a fucking shit kicker. I mean, like it makes Splinter look like a love sonnet by comparison. Yeah. Like, just, oh, man, I can't wait. I'm still waiting for the final mix master.
So when do you anticipate that dropping?
Sometime in the fall. Yeah. Just, you know, we don't have a set date yet. And that's just because we don't have a final mix master yet. Kevin does the mixing, but we've been having Andrew Wade do a lot of our masters. So, you know, and Kevin's busy with a lot of this stuff, too. He's still doing the Fear the United stuff and, like, He's like this crazy, Southern sportsman. Like, he races, like, quads and stuff and, like, dirt bikes and, like he's really good. He's like, actually, like, semi-pro, like, four-wheel racer. Dude does crazy stuff. Like, he's a photographer. He wears a lot of hats. So, to get mixes, it's a slow process, you know, but, like, when they come out, it's worth it.
Right.
But it's one of those things, like, he's almost done. So I'm just like, oh, man, come on. But I don't want to bother. So you bother, it makes it take longer. You know, you don't want to do that. You know? So like, I don't want to bother. I'm just like, man, I can't wait. Oh, man, I can't wait to eat out. Oh, wow. You know? And I just, like, get so excited about it. And then I have to, like, this is why I'm in five bands right now. Because I get so excited about it that I get myself all worked up to the point where I get upset that something's not ready yet for me to enjoy it. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, let me just put that down for a minute. Let me go over here. I'm gonna start working on this stuff because I'm just gonna get myself all worked up for nothing, and that's basically how I survive day to day, Dan.
Well, you're doing all right so far. If that's what you need to do, keep doing it because it's working out. And this
I
is
haven't killed anybody yet?
Yeah, no, and you're putting out good shit. Like, again, I'm a fan, and
thank you so much.
And I'm stoked to hear the rest of it. And unless there's anything else you want to add on here before we wrap this thing up.
I mean, hey, you know, anybody that's listening, you know, if you like any of this stuff, please just follow the project on Spotify, like the track, share the track, put it on, like, your gym playlist or whatever. Like, every click on that thing helps, you know, like, that's all. You know, Spotify's algorithm is a more complicated beast than Facebook's could ever possibly be. Like, I've been doing this racket a long time, and you just can't even get on their editorial playlist. So, like, you know, it's a tough nut to crack. Every click helps. Literally, anybody listening to this, take the 30 seconds, and I will love you forever. Just follow the thing on Spotify. Click the like button. Share the track. Like, just get it out there, because otherwise it just gets buried, you know?
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, because Spotify is supposed to be this great platform where bands can get discovered and all that. And it's like, yeah, but it's really easy to get buried. And it's like, you know, especially for this stuff, I can't stress that enough, because it's really good stuff.
Yeah.
It's some of the best stuff I've ever done. So, like, you know, I want to see it get heard, man. You know, just take that 30 seconds, like the thing.
And sometimes all it takes is that getting on that one fucking playlist.
I know.
And then, yeah.
It's stupid. It's stupid, yeah. And then it just, like, snowballs from there. And that's not to say that I'm, like, seeking that out or anything. It's just, you know, I just want the track to get heard, man. It's, you know, it came out so good. Kevin did such a good job with it. Everybody did such a good job with it. I gave it 110%. It's like, you know, I just don't want it to languish. And every single click on that thing helps, so... You know,
well, like I said, it deserves it, and I hope everybody does the same. I'm going to keep clicking on it and keep adding it to playlists and all that.
I appreciate it. Every click helps. Thank you so much for the kind words.
All right, man. Joe, hey, thanks for taking the time to have this conversation. I had a good time.
Dude, man, thanks for having me. Likewise, we'll do it again sometime.
Absolutely. I'll hit you up
when I'm ready to announce that thing.
You let me know. All right.
All right, man.
Later, man.
So there you have it. That was my conversation with Joseph. The song you just heard was Surface by Seeking Sirens. The one that we were talking about being radio friendly, if you can't tell. I think it's a great track. And I want to thank him for taking the time to have the conversation. You might have heard a hint at some stuff that he was going to announce. And it has been announced. He's got a solo project that he's been working on. And it features current and ex-members of bands like God Forbid, Darkest Hour, Unearth, Bad Wolves, I believe, quite a few others. It's very cool. Look it up, Joseph Isaiah. on Google. Listen to me tell you how to Google something. That's what you should do. But you should also keep an eye out for a new Seeking Sirens track. According to their social media, there should be one on the way shortly. So until then, you have these two that you can listen to, and I suggest you do it over and over and over again on Spotify to build that algorithm, crack that code, do what you can to help a young band out in need. All right, so that's really going to be just about it for this one. I don't have much else to tell you about. I can tell you about gettingitout.net, but I suspect you've heard enough, being that it doesn't truly exist on your radar yet. It does on mine, but not on yours, and I understand that. So let's find a song to end this one on. Let's go with a track from the new Employed to Serve album. The record is called Conquering. It came out just last Friday, September 17th. This song, let's pick Mark of the Grave. Again, off of their new record, Conquering, on Spine Farm Records, out now, available everywhere. Employed to Serve from the UK. Check it out. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.